Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
In 2019, Rich Sutton published a one-page essay called The Bitter Lesson. Sutton is one of the founders of modern reinforcement learning. The person who literally wrote the textbook, the essay, made a single argument that over 70 years of artificial intelligence research, the methods that win are always the ones that leverage computation at scale. Not the clever hand-crafted representations, not the carefully encoded domain knowledge, scale. More data, more compute, more parameters. The lesson is bitter, Sutton wrote, because researchers keep trying to build in what they know, and they keep losing to systems that simply learn from more examples on bigger machines. Chess programs that encoded grandmaster knowledge lost to programs that searched more positions. Speech recognition systems with hand-coded phoneme models lost to neural networks trained on more audio. Vision systems with engineered feature detectors lost to convolutional networks trained on more images. The pattern, Sutton argued, was universal and inescapable.
And for the last 6 years, that essay has been scripture, the final word in a debate that goes back to the 1950s.
The debate between Marvin Minsky and the Connectionists. Minsky believed intelligence required structured symbolic representations, logic, rules, explicit models of the world. The Connectionists, led by Rumelhart McClelland and eventually Hinton, believed intelligence would emerge from networks of simple units trained on data. Minsky's critique of perceptrons in 1969 nearly killed connectionism for a decade. Then backpropagation revived it. Then deep learning won, decisively on vision and language and games and protein folding. By 2019, when Sutton wrote his essay, the verdict seemed final. The connectionists were right. Build a big enough network, train it on enough data, and you don't need hand-coded structure. Structure is overhead. Structure is a crutch. The machine will find its own structure, and it will be better than yours. It has been the intellectual foundation of the foundation model era. GPT, DALL-E, Gemini. The bet is always the same. Make the model bigger, give it more data, and emergent capabilities will follow. In robotics, the latest expression of that bet is the Vision Language Action Model, or VLA. A single neural network that takes in camera images and language instructions and outputs motor commands directly. No planning module, no symbolic reasoning, no explicit representation of what the world is or how it works. Just pixels in, actions out, trained on enormous datasets of robot demonstrations. The most prominent open-weight example is PiZero, built by Physical Intelligence, a startup in San Francisco that raised $600 million in 2024 on the premise that one model can learn to control any robot doing any task.
That's a lot of money riding on the bitter lesson being right.
It is. And a paper published in February 2026, accepted at ICRA in Vienna, asks a question that $600 million would prefer not to hear: what happens when you put that foundation model head-to-head against a system built the old way? With symbolic planning, hand-structured task knowledge, and small learned policies, not on a cherry-picked benchmark. On the same task, same robot, same simulation, same evaluation protocol. The paper is called The Price is Not Right, from Timothy Duggan, Pierrick Lorang, Hong Lu, and Matthias Scheutz at Tufts University, and the results are not close. Chapter 1. The Arena. The task is Towers of Hanoi, not the wooden puzzle on your desk. a robotic manipulation version in the RoboSuite simulation environment. A Franka Panda arm, 3 or 4 colored blocks, 3 rectangular platforms standing in for the classic rods. The rules are the traditional ones. Move one block at a time. Never place a larger block on a smaller one. Transfer the entire stack from the start platform to the goal platform. 3 blocks requires a minimum of 7 individual pick-and-place moves. 4 blocks requires 15.
That's a toy problem.
It is absolutely a toy problem, and that is precisely the point. Towers of Hanoi has a known optimal solution. An undergraduate computer science student can write a recursive algorithm that solves it in 30 seconds. It has clear, explicit rules. It requires sequential reasoning over multiple steps where each step depends on the outcome of the last. You cannot skip ahead. You cannot improvise a shortcut. It is exactly the kind of structured long-horizon task where you would expect a system with explicit planning to have an advantage. The question the paper asks is, how large is that advantage, and what does the alternative cost?
And they chose it specifically because the VLA should be able to learn it.
Correct. The VLA was trained on 300 demonstration episodes of this specific task. 150 complete Hanoi runs with randomly selected blocks and another 150 episodes of individual valid block placements. The block positions were varied with Gaussian noise to provide diversity, but the evaluation configuration was included in the training data. This is important. This is not a test of generalization for the VLA. This is a test of whether it can reliably do the thing it was specifically, extensively trained to do. 300 demonstrations is not a small data set for robotic learning. That is a generous training regime.
What about the other system? How much data does it get?
50 demonstrations, 1/6, the data. We'll come back to that. Chapter 2, The Old Way. The neurosymbolic system has 4 layers, and understanding how they fit together is essential to understanding why the results come out the way they do. At the bottom is perception. A Yolov 8 object detector identifies the blocks from camera images, and a lightweight gradient boosting regressor estimates their three-dimensional poses from 2 views. A static overhead camera and a wrist-mounted camera on the robot arm. The output is a set of positions and orientations for every block and platform in the scene. Nothing learned end to end, just object detection and pose estimation. Mature, well-understood computer vision.
So far, this sounds like 2015.
In some ways, it is. Above perception sits the symbolic abstraction layer. This is where it gets interesting. The system takes those 50 demonstration trajectories and extracts what the paper calls node transitions, a record of which high-level states the robot passed through and what action moved it between them. A state might be red block is on the table, blue block is on the green block. An action might be pick up red block. From those transitions, the system builds a graph. Nodes are states, edges are actions. Then an answer set programming solver. ASP, a form of logic programming. Takes that graph and infers a complete PDDL domain from it automatically.
PDDL. That's a name from another era.
Planning Domain Definition Language. Developed in 1998 by Drew McDermott and a committee of researchers for the International Planning Competition. It is a formal language for specifying what actions exist in a domain, what their preconditions are, and what effects they produce. If you studied AI in the early 2000s, you wrote PDDL. It was the lingua franca of automated planning research. Entire careers were built around making PDDL planners faster and more expressive. Then deep learning arrived around 2012, funding shifted, and the planning community contracted sharply. PDDL became, in the eyes of the machine learning mainstream, a relic. An artifact of the symbolic AI era that the bitter lesson had rendered obsolete.
But here it is.
Here it is. And the critical detail is that the PDDL domain in this paper is not hand-authored by a human expert. It is learned from demonstrations by the ASP solver. the system watches a robot stack, blocks 50 times, extracts the structure of the task, and writes the formal specification itself. The predicates: Block A is on block B. Block A is clear. The gripper is empty. The operators, the preconditions, the effects, all inferred. Once that specification exists, a classical planner called metric FF takes the current state and the goal state and produces an optimal plan in milliseconds. Pick up the red block, place it on the right platform, pick up the blue block, place it on the red block, and so on.
And the motor control?
Each operator in the plan, each pick or place, is mapped to a small diffusion policy trained on the relevant segments of those same 50 demonstrations. Diffusion models in this context are neural networks that learn to generate smooth action trajectories by iteratively denoising random inputs. They're good at capturing multimodal action distributions. The fact that there are multiple valid ways to approach and grasp a block, the key architectural insight is decomposition. The symbolic planner handles sequencing, what to do and in what order. The neural policies handle execution, how to physically pick up and put down a block. Each component does what it is good at. Neither has to do the other's job.
How long does all of this take to train?
34 minutes total. 50 demonstrations. One consumer GPU, 34 minutes. That includes training the object detector, learning the PDDL domain, and training the diffusion policies for each operator. Chapter 3, The New Way. PI-0 is a vision language action model released by Physical Intelligence with open weights in late 2024. The architecture pairs a PaliGemma 2 billion parameter vision language backbone with a 300 million parameter action head. The vision language component processes camera images and natural language instructions. The action head uses a technique called flow matching to generate continuous seven-dimensional motor commands. Three axes of translation, three axes of rotation, and gripper opening. It is designed to be a generalist. One architecture, pre-trained on diverse robot data, then fine-tuned for specific tasks.
One model to rule them all.
That is the value proposition. Physical Intelligence demonstrated PI-0 folding laundry, clearing tables, assembling boxes, impressive demonstrations on unstructured tasks where the variety of objects and configurations makes hand-coding impractical. The Tufts team fine-tuned PI-0 using the official OpenPI training scripts with default hyperparameters and LoRa adaptation. Low-rank adaptation, the standard technique for efficiently fine-tuning large models. 30,000 training steps on those 300 demonstration episodes. Training took approximately 40 hours on a single NVIDIA RTX 4090. They tested two configurations.
Two?
The first, which they call end-to-end VLA, receives the instruction play Towers of Hanoi at every time step and must figure out the entire sequence from that single command. Perceive the scene, infer the next move, execute it, perceive again, infer again, execute again. All implicitly, with no explicit plan. The second configuration planner-guided VLA receives structured subtask commands from an external Oracle planner. Pick the red block, place the red block on the green block, one command at a time, delivered in optimal order, with the next command issued only after the current one completes.
So the second version gets the answer sheet.
It gets the complete optimal plan handed to it for free. All it has to do is execute each individual pick or place. This is the most generous possible test of PI-0's motor control capabilities, completely stripped of any planning burden. If the VLA struggles here, the problem is not planning. The problem is execution. Chapter 4. The results. On a single pick and place move, the simplest possible test. The neuro-symbolic system succeeds 99% of the time. The end-to-end VLA succeeds 87%. The planner-guided VLA succeeds 60%, already a gap on the atomic operation.
60% on a single move?
With the subtask command provided. Now compound that over a 7-move sequence on 3 block towers of Hanoi. The task the VLA was specifically trained on with the evaluation configuration in the training data. The neurosymbolic system succeeds 95% of the time. The end-to-end VLA succeeds 34%. The planner-guided VLA succeeds 0%.
Zero. The version with the answer sheet scores zero.
Zero. And this is the most striking result in the paper. The planner-guided model, the one that knows exactly what to do, that receives optimal instruction, fails every single time on the full task. It fails consistently around the 3rd or 5th subtask. It can pick up a block. It can place a block roughly in the right area. But roughly is not good enough. Each imprecise placement shifts the configuration slightly. By the 3rd or 4th move, the accumulated positional error means the next grasp misses, or the next placement is illegal, or a block falls. The farthest any planner-guided episode reached was subtask 9 of 14. None reached 10.
Error accumulation.
Error accumulation. The VLA has no error correction mechanism. It does not perceive that its last placement was 2 centimeters off and adjust its next grasp accordingly. It generates actions from pixels without maintaining an explicit model of where things actually are. The neurosymbolic system, by contrast, reperceives the scene after every action and feeds the updated state back to the planner. If a block lands slightly off target, the object detector sees where it actually is, and the next action plan accounts for the real configuration.
The end-to-end model does better than the guided one?
34% versus zero, which is paradoxical. The model with less information outperforms the model with more. The paper's explanation is that the end-to-end model has more freedom to develop its own implicit strategies, including retry behaviors. It can attempt a grasp, fail, attempt again from a different angle. The planner-guided model is locked into the prescribed subtask sequence and has no mechanism for recovery when execution drifts.
And generalization?
On 4 block towers of Hanoi. 15 moves, not in the training data, never seen by any model. The neurosymbolic system succeeds 78% of the time. Both VLA configurations succeed 0%. The end-to-end model's task advancement rate is 2.5%. It barely begins. It does not know what to do with a configuration it has not memorized.
The planning system generalizes to a harder version of the task it's never seen. The foundation model cannot do the version it trained on.
And the reason is architectural. Metric FF does not need to be retrained for 4 blocks. It takes the same PDDL domain, accepts a new initial state with an additional block, and produces the optimal 15-move plan in milliseconds. The diffusion policies for picking and placing don't change. A pick is a pick, regardless of how many blocks are in play. The system generalizes because its components are modular and compositional. The VLA cannot generalize because it has no representation of the rules. It has learned statistical correlations between visual patterns and motor trajectories, and those correlations are specific to the configurations in the training set.
They also tested large language models as planners.
They did. They asked GPT-5, Qwen 7 billion, and PaleGemma 3 billion to generate Towers of Hanoi plans from visual input. Qwen and PaleGemma produced invalid plans 100% of the time. GPT-5 produced optimal plans 84% of the time and invalid plans 16% better, but not reliable. And cloud-hosted, so the energy cost is opaque and the latency is 63 seconds per query. Metric FF solves the same problem locally, optimally, in under a second. Chapter 5. The Bill. This is where the paper's title earns its keep, Training the Neurosymbolic System, Object Detector, Symbolic Domain Inference, Diffusion Policies. Consumed a total of 0.85 megajoules of energy. Training either VLA configuration consumed between 65 and 69 megajoules. That is a ratio of roughly 80 to 1 in wall clock time, 34 minutes versus 1 day and 16 hours.
And at inference?
The neurosymbolic system runs entirely on CPU at inference, no GPU. The planner is classical software. The diffusion policies are small enough to run on a processor. Total measured system power, 19.4 watts. The VLA requires continuous GPU-backed inference. The model must process every camera frame through a 2 billion parameter vision language backbone and generate actions through a 300 million parameter flow matching head. Total measured system power, 115 watts per episode on 3-block Hanoi. The VLA consumes roughly 8 kilojoules. The neurosymbolic system consumes 0.83 kilojoules, a factor of 10 at the episode level. But the VLA also fails more often and runs longer when it fails, so the effective energy cost per successful task completion is far worse than 10 to 1.
80 times more energy to train, 6 times more power to run, and it works a third as often.
The paper makes the point explicitly. Because VLA policies require GPU-backed inference, their per-episode energy cost compounds under repeated deployment. If you're running a manipulation system in a factory, executing the same class of structured task thousands of times per day, the per-episode energy difference is not academic. The training cost is paid once, the inference cost is paid every cycle, every shift, every day the line runs. And the VLA's inference cost includes a GPU drawing 70 watts continuously. A GPU that the neurosymbolic system does not use at all.
Now scale that across every robot in every warehouse in the world.
The paper does not make that extrapolation explicitly, but the arithmetic is available to anyone who wants to do it. AI data centers already account for more than 10% of United States electricity consumption, and that figure is growing. The assumption embedded in the current robotics investment thesis that every robot arm, every mobile manipulator, every autonomous system will run a billion parameter foundation model at inference has energy implications that this paper quantifies on one small task, and the numbers on this one small task suggest the assumption is extraordinarily expensive for structured domains where it also does not work very well. The synthesis. There is a reading of this paper that says, of course, symbolic planning wins on Towers of Hanoi. It is a task with explicit rules and a known optimal solution. Try running PDDL on folding a fitted sheet, and that reading is not wrong. The authors acknowledge it directly. They tested one task domain in simulation on one robot. Towers of Hanoi is a best case for structured planning and arguably a worst case for statistical learning. The paper's own limitations section states this clearly.
So, what is the actual claim?
The actual claim is about the topology of the problem space. Not every manipulation task is the same. Some are genuinely unstructured. Folding laundry, cooking a meal, tidying a room where the objects and configurations vary without bound, and there are no explicit rules governing the sequence. Foundation models may well be the right tool for those problems. But a significant fraction of real-world manipulation is structured, assembly, logistics, stacking, sorting, palletizing, kitting, quality inspection, tasks with explicit constraints, known procedures, and sequential dependencies. Industrial robotics is full of them. For those tasks, this paper argues, you are paying an enormous price. In energy, in data, in reliability, in generalization. To use a foundation model that is architecturally incapable of representing the structure it is operating within.
Sutton's bitter lesson says, scale always wins.
Sutton's bitter lesson says, scale has always won historically. It is a descriptive claim about the past, not a guarantee about the future. And the energy dimension is genuinely new. When Sutton wrote in 2019, the cost of compute scaling was a research budget problem. How many GPU hours can your lab afford? Today, it is an infrastructure problem, a grid capacity problem, a question of whether the electrical supply exists. The question is no longer just whether the scaled approach performs better, but whether the performance margin, if any, justifies the energy cost. On this task, the scaled approach does not even perform better, it performs dramatically worse while consuming 80 times the training energy and 6 times the inference power.
Yann LeCun has been making a version of this argument for years.
LeCun's position, which he has articulated through his JPA architecture and in public debate, is that pure statistical learning from tokens or pixels is missing something fundamental about how capable systems model the world. He argues for structured internal representations, world models that predict at a level of abstraction above raw sensory data. The Tufts paper is not a validation of LeCun's specific technical proposal, but it is evidence from a controlled experiment that the just-scale-it orthodoxy has concrete, measurable failure modes on a class of problems that is not small or exotic tasks with compositional structure resist pure statistical approaches. The paper puts a number on how much they resist, and the number is 95-0 on a 15-move unseen generalization task.
78-0.
78-0. I misspoke. 78% versus 0 on 4-block generalization. 95 versus 34 on the trained 3-block task. Subhash Kambampati, a prominent AI planning researcher, has published extensively on the inability of large language models to perform reliable planning. The Tufts paper cites that work and extends it to VLAs and embodied control. The critique is converging from multiple directions.
Matthias Scheutz has been at this for a long time.
Scheutz runs the Human-Robot Interaction Lab at Tufts. He has been working on cognitive architectures and symbolic reasoning for robots for over 2 decades. Through the deep learning winter for symbolic methods, through the years when nobody was funding planning research, through the period when PDDL was treated as a historical curiosity. This paper is in some meaningful sense a vindication of a research program that was deeply unfashionable for a decade. The tools he and his students kept building, while the field looked elsewhere, turn out to be 95% reliable, where the fashionable tool is 34.
And all of it is open.
Everything. The neurosymbolic system, the VLA fine-tuning scripts, the evaluation framework, the energy measurement methodology, the simulation environments, published at Price is not right, gartkitab.io. The paper is on archive number 2602, bind 19260. Presented at ICRA 2026 in Vienna. Anyone can reproduce these results. Anyone can extend them to other tasks and see whether the pattern holds.
One task, one paper.
One task, one paper, and limitations that the authors are honest about? The data asymmetry between 50 demonstrations for the neurosymbolic system and 300 for the VLA is real, and better data curation or hyperparameter tuning could narrow the VLA's gap. The paper acknowledges this. It also argues correctly that even if you closed the performance gap entirely, you would still be left with the 80-1 training energy ratio and the 6-1 inference power ratio. The efficiency advantage of structure is not contingent on the VLA being badly trained. It is a property of the architecture.
But the question is larger than Towers of Hanoi.
It is. The question is whether the path forward for robotics is one model for everything or the right model for each class of problem. Whether structure, when it exists, should be exploited or ignored. This paper's answer is that ignoring known structure does not just sacrifice efficiency, it sacrifices capability. The bitter lesson may prove correct over the long arc of the field, but the bill for ignoring structure in the near term. In energy, in reliability, in generalization to unseen configurations, is higher than anyone priced in.
From the labs.
From the labs.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.